everyone. Welcome to the College Exploration Spotlight Series. My name is Victoria and I work for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. Each episode, we're going to be interviewing current or recently graduated students at a variety of schools for teens to learn more about colleges before applying. Finding the right school to fit your wants and needs can be hard, but the library is here to help. Let's have some fun and explore these schools together. All opinions expressed by interviewees are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Charlotte Mecklenburg Library or its affiliates. Their opinions are based upon their experiences and information in which they consider to be reliable. Today I'm talking with Evan and Jack. So hi, thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us. I'm glad we finally were able to make this work.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us on.
Absolutely. So what school do you attend and where is it located?
So I attend Clemson University, located in Clemson, South Carolina.
I attended Clemson, I should say. I've used the past tense. You
know? All right. So tell me about where Clemson is. Tell me about what it's like there. Is it kind of rural? Is it more suburban? Like, what's going on around there for people to do if they were to go to Clemson?
Okay. So the city of Clemson, South Carolina is in the top left corner of the state of South Carolina. This is an area that South Carolinians refer to as the upstate. So if you're not familiar with South Carolina geography, if you ever hear of the upstate, that's us. We're exactly halfway between Charlotte and Atlanta. Both of those cities, about 2 hours away. Nearest large city going to be Greenville, South Carolina. It's about a 40-minute drive or so from campus. And we're located on the banks of Lake Hartwell. Makes for a very rural area, a lot of outdoor exploration and other opportunities like that. So it's a very small town. It is a true college town, very community-oriented feel. And like I say, kind of in that rural area of northwest South Carolina.
Very nice. Is there at least stuff for people to do if they were to go to Clemson, like restaurants and stuff going on around it? Or is it really whatever's going on is on campus?
A little of both, I'd say, right, Jack? I mean, there's a healthy number of on-campus activities, but, being a true college town and having that kind of rural area to ourselves, pretty much anything that's going on in the immediate area is going to be going on because the university is there. We do have a small downtown, various restaurants, shops, things like that. But everything very university centered. If Clemson wasn't there, if the university wasn't there, you probably wouldn't very well know the city of Clemson, South Carolina, because it is a pretty small, intimate area.
Right.
Makes sense.
I would say we're definitely a definition of a college town, like Evan just said. The town is really built around the school, and that's nice because us students get to kind of make that experience whatever we want it to be, whether it's making it feel like a super small town or, going out to, all the places in the surrounding area and even those bigger cities that Evan mentioned. Clemson's in a really good spot, so you can kind of cater that experience to whether you want it to feel like a bigger school or smaller school.
That's really nice. Okay, so let's talk about campus itself. So I'm assuming that if Clemson is small, then maybe your campus is small as well, kind of?
Yes, maybe? I would say it's more compact than it is small. There's a lot there. Not to say that we're at a need for space or anything like that. It's just very easily accessible. Everything is easily accessible to our students. So the people who designed Clemson way back in the 1800s did so in a pretty ingenious way, kind of set it up like a target. So the bullseye of the target, the center of campus, is our Cooper Library. That is the main resource library for all of our students. And then the first ring of buildings outside of that quote unquote bullseye is going to be all of our academic locations. So this is where classrooms are for all the classes students will be in for their undergraduate time. This is where our Academic Success Center is, all the study space. It's in that very first ring. Second ring out is student life buildings, so things like residence halls, dining halls, workout facilities. And then that third and final ring is going to be all of our athletic and parking facilities. And I know when I describe it that way, it sounds absolutely gigantic, but I promise it is not. It really only takes about 15 minutes to get from side to side of our campus, and that's 15 at a very leisurely pace. I know I have been running late to class and have made it in about seven and a half, but that's going at a pretty decent clip. So probably averages out to right around 10 minutes at a normal walking pace to get from side to side of our campus.
That's not bad, though. And it sounds like really well designed and easy for anyone to navigate, like once they understand exactly where they're going to be at and how to work themselves outward, for whatever they need.
Absolutely. And with all the new construction, too, they're sticking with those rings, too, which is nice. So even as we're building our new residence halls, and we just opened the brand new College of Business building this semester, and they kept those within those rings as well. So students are still able to be able to identify everything, and especially for freshmen and other on-campus resident students, they're always going towards the center of campus to their classes, not ever having to go out. So it's always, you know, even shorter than that 10 to 15 minute range to get from your residence hall to your classes.
So with the parking situation, is everyone allowed to park on campus from day one, or are there rules?
Is everyone allowed to park on campus? Yes.
Yeah, so like can freshmen, I mean like can freshmen come on campus with a car? Because a lot of schools, they don't allow that.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, is everyone allowed to park on campus? Yes. Is everyone able to park on campus at the same time? Eh. but yeah, freshmen can have cars. The parking lot is designated based on where they live. So your residential parking lot will be on the same side of campus where you live. Again, probably not more than a 5 or 10 minute walk from your front door. And then, you know, upperclassmen, whether they live on campus or not, you know, can still have cars and get a commuter parking pass, residential parking pass, things like that. So I would say as a whole, and Jack, we can collaborate on an estimation here. I would say probably 75% of Clemson students have a car, somewhere in that range.
Somewhere around there. Yeah. I'd say between 65 and 75%.
Okay. So this would be a did you live on campus for Evan and then a do you or did you for Jack. But living on campus, talk about the residence halls if you did, or what other like living options are there for Clemson students?
So I only lived on campus 1 year. I lived on campus my freshman year in a hall-style residence hall, very stereotypical quote-unquote dorm layout. I lived in the only all-guys residence hall, freshman, all-male. We had the hall style layout. So there was the bathroom that was in the center of the floor that had your set number of sinks, shower stalls, that sort of thing. And then the hallway kind of extended around the perimeter of that bathroom. And then after freshman year, I moved off campus and I lived in the same apartment complex for the next, I think it was 4 years. I think I lived there a year after graduation as well. And it was one of the farther apartment complexes from campus. It was still only about a 6 minute drive or so for me first thing in the morning. So a lot of really good housing options, both on and off campus. I'll let Jack kind of talk more about like the residence halls and the floor plans and things like that outside of, you know, the regular hall style. But yeah, I only lived there the first year, which all freshmen are going to be required to live on campus, so not all that unusual. But yeah, there's a good variety of locations and layouts and things like that as well, which, like I said, Jack can go a little bit more in depth on.
Right. So I also only lived on campus for 1 year, and it sounds like I lived in the same residence hall as Evan, which we've been friends for 5 years now, and I never knew that. So that's a funny little piece of information to learn today. But I lived on campus for 1 year, and looking back, because, you know, hindsight is 20/20, I do wish that I had lived on campus for more than 1 year. So like Evan said, freshman year is the only year it is required. So every freshman will live on campus their freshman year. After that, it's never required, nor is it technically guaranteed again after freshman year. But don't let that be something that'll like freak you out as a student listening to this, because it's very easy to get that upperclassman housing. The percentage breakdown goes 100% of freshmen on campus, then drops down to 50% of sophomores, somewhere around 20 to 25% of juniors, and between 10 and 15% of seniors. We've got plenty of housing for upperclassmen, and we're still building that. We just completed new residence halls about a year, year and a half ago. So it's not a lack of space deal. It's just kind of a first come, first serve, and it typically works out that just about every student who wants to continue on campus past their freshman year will be able to do that. So I, like Evan, had that hall style experience where everyone on the hall shares the same set of bathrooms. We have two more options for kind of the bathroom setup. One being a suite style. And so that one kind of like a Jack and Jill setup. So it's two bedrooms sharing a bathroom. So instead of sharing that bathroom with the entire floor, you're only going to be sharing it with your roommate and another set of roommates. So four students, including yourself, total using that bathroom facility. Now, I will say in this suite style setup, there's a little bit more responsibility on your end. You are required to clean it yourself and provide your own toilet paper. For the hall style setup, it's cleaned for you 3 times a day by Clemson staff members. So kind of weigh the pros and cons there. If you don't clean your bathroom now, you're probably not going to want to clean it your freshman year at college. So might go with the hall style setup. But that suite style, if you're a little bit more private, don't want to be sharing it with, you know, upwards of 15, 20 other people, you might want to go with suite. Now, the third option is kind of in between the two. It's like a hybrid style setup. So it's still communal in the sense that everyone on a floor will share the same set of bathroom facilities. But instead of all of those toilets, showers, sinks, and mirrors being in one big space that everyone shares, there are going to be private bathrooms spread out across the hall. So each individual bathroom has its own toilet, shower, sink, and mirror in it. So you have a little bit more privacy while you're actually using the facilities, but you're still sharing it with everybody on the floor and it is still cleaned for you 3 times a day by our Clemson staff members. So that's kind of a win-win there. A little bit more privacy, still don't have to deal with the cleaning. But that's the floor plan setup. Each individual residence hall is going to have one of those setups. If you go to our housing website, which is just housing.clemson.edu, you'll be able to go through. You can take a virtual tour of any of those residence halls if you want to see them. You can also look at floor plans, see all the different measurements, see which residence halls are co-ed, which are all male, all female. We have one all male, one all female, and the rest are going to be co-ed. Co-ed residence halls also going to be determined by the bathroom. So things that are either hybrid or that hall style, you're going to be co-ed by floor. And then for the suite style, it's going to be co-ed by suite. And the reason why we do that is just to make sure it's only ever members of the same gender using the same bathroom facilities. But yeah, the housing's great. I wish I'd stayed on for an extra year just because, you know, after you move off campus, you've got to commute to get there. I'd take the bus every day. There's a great free transportation system in Clemson, so it's really easy to get to and from campus. I had my car sophomore year and didn't have a parking pass just because I wanted to take the bus, save a little money on gas and the parking pass fee, which is around $180 for the whole year this year. So yeah, I just wish I'd stayed on campus so I didn't have to wake up, you know, an hour before class and not be able to just roll out of bed 5 minutes before and still make it on time. But yeah, that's a brief little overview of what that housing looks like.
Okay, so this one kind of is like a big one for a lot of people. Talk about the food on campus. What kind of options do you have? Like, a lot of people are like, is it going to be like worth it?
How
Oh,
much
let me tell
time do
you.
you have?
Yeah. Now, this one always worries me a little bit because we do get this question a lot on our tours. And I don't know what these other schools have done to like traumatize their students with such bad food, but at Clemson, that is definitely not an experience we have had or had to deal with. All the food is absolutely incredible. Similar to the housing plan, with having to have housing your freshman year, you also are required to have a meal plan your freshman year. And at Clemson, that meal plan has to be unlimited for freshman year. So that's both a blessing and a curse because, you know, unlimited food can, you know, go a couple different ways there, but the food is absolutely incredible. There's three amazing dining halls that we have access to, and none of those meal plans are dining hall specific. So as long as you have a Clemson meal plan, you'll be able to go to any of those three dining halls. The food is great. I still, as an upperclassman, you can swipe in with cash or pay, or I guess swipe in with card, pay with cash, even if you do not have that meal plan. So you can still use the dining halls, which is really nice too. And there are a couple nights that I have just missed it and gone and paid. I believe it's somewhere between $8 and $10 for dinner, and you just go pay. And if it's a buffet style, you can load up on whatever you want as long as you're in there. If it's our kind of a food court style setup we have in one of the dining halls, obviously you just go to the one station and pay there. But the food's absolutely incredible, and that's something that I've experienced. And I had a meal plan for my first 3 years at Clemson. So even once I had moved off campus, I still maintained that meal plan. So I could just go to campus for the day, have class, go to lunch after, more class, dinner, and then go home. So it's absolutely incredible. The food, we really don't have enough time on this podcast for me to go into how much I love this food, if we're being
I
honest.
will briefly add on to that though and say I did have a meal plan for all 4 years. So like Jack mentioned, you're only required to have it that first year, but in conversations, you know, with my parents, you know, over the summer leading up to, you know, my next year, whether it was sophomore, junior, senior, I said, you know, I like to cook and I like having my own food in the apartment, but I like the dining halls, which sounded weird to say because, you know, I don't know why that's the reputation that you're not supposed to like the dining halls. But yeah, like Jack said, all of the food at Clemson is good. And it was even, you know, a time for socialization for me. I would visit, you know, friends who still lived on campus, or if we needed a place to meet up, you know, for a half hour in between class or something, it was the dining hall. And so I would get to campus early so I could, you know, grab breakfast, or if I had time in between classes, you know, swipe in, grab a piece of pizza or something. So I was a frequent flyer in several of the dining halls up until graduation. And even as a staff member now working for Clemson, I still go in the dining hall sometimes. So I can never get enough of the food at Clemson. And the retail dining options are good as well. We have, you know, some other, you know, dining options that aren't dining halls on campus as well. Of course, all of those are good, but a little bit more familiar places, you know, Subway and Raising Cane's Fried Chicken, Panda Express, things like that. All of those really good as well. So you will not go hungry at Clemson for sure.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is located right across from the business building, and that was really dangerous for me for as long as I had classes in that building before we opened the new one this year, because I would be sitting in class and you can literally smell it around the
Oh, that's not fair.
lunch and dinner times. They
That's just
just
mean.
start cooking up a storm, and I'm sitting in the middle of business strategy and my stomach starts grumbling. We also have a partnership with Grubhub, so during a lot of those classes I would go on and order food with about 5, 10 minutes to spare at the end of class, and then would walk out, walk across the street, and it would be coming up to the counter right as I was walking in the door. So even if you need to just grab something quick on the go, there's ways to do that in both the retail options and the dining halls, which is really cool too, if you just need to grab something quick and make it to your next
That's
class.
awesome. Are there like options for people who have dietary restrictions? I know that can be like a big thing for certain people.
Oh yes, all of our dining halls have options available for any students who are vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, dairy-free, whatever it may be. We have dietitians on staff to make sure there's always food available to students who can't eat certain things. And they'll have whole stations dedicated to that in each of the dining halls. And if there's any students who are, one of my very good friends is allergic to just about everything. And so he, freshman year, was worried that he wasn't going to be able to eat. And he already had this unlimited meal plan. So it's like, what am I going to do? But we had just opened our newest dining hall, which was a fresh food company at the time before we completed our new construction 2 years ago. And we went in there, and there was an entire station that was essentially the allergy station. So whatever you allergies you had, everything was cordoned off to make sure that nothing in that station was prepared with, peanut oil, whatever it may be. So there's definitely, I mean, I'm not allergic to any food, so I haven't experienced that food personally, but I've had a couple friends who have pretty severe allergies who love the food just as much as I did, even though they went to, the quote unquote allergy
That's
station.
awesome. All right. So, will you guys tell me about like your best or like a standout faculty experience?
Yeah, I think we probably have a plethora of these as well. I will say for me, I was a sports communication major. A lot of my classes were facilitated, most of my classes, I guess, were facilitated through the comm department, which at Clemson is not a very large department. It's pretty small. It's easy to get to know people both in your classes and, the faculty members as well. And my favorite faculty member, favorite professor, I ended up taking four classes with him over the course of 3 years. I didn't take any classes with him freshman year, but sophomore through senior year, I had at least one class with him all of those years. And he and I developed a really great relationship. We both kind of had the same sense of humor. We're both, sarcastic and both enjoyed what we were talking about in class. And so that was something, I made sure to never miss his class because I wanted to learn from him. He always said something almost on a daily basis that would make me think, even after I left class, I'd be walking across campus or I'd be on the way back to my car and, just still think about what we talked about in class that day or the material or things like that. And relating it back to food, on my side of campus where the comm building was, there was a Wendy's right next to it, basically. And a lot of times his classes would be scheduled, sometime between like 11:30 to 2 o'clock. So right in that lunch hour. And there was one semester I had a class right before his in the exact same classroom. So what I would do, I had in that 15 minutes between those two classes, leave all my stuff on my desk and I'd go to Wendy's and I'd usually end up walking in late to his class, but I'd have Wendy's and I'd have a mini Frosty and I'd just hand it to him and he'd just pretend like I wasn't late that day. Or if he wasn't in the mood for a Frosty, I'd go buy him some French fries and he'd snack on those during class. And it got to the point, it kind of became a running joke that there would be times, 15, 20 minutes into his class, we'd already started. I would just kind of raise my hand and say, "Hey, I'm gonna go grab lunch. Do you want anything?" And he would act like he didn't want me to, but we all knew he wanted something. So that was just kind of the rapport that we built. There'd be times, I just run by his office to chat in between classes, things like that. So not only a really good faculty member, but a really good friend as well. And he and I still stay in contact, a year and a half after graduation. And that was just one of many really good relationships and faculty members that I came in contact with within my department specifically. They were all really great, but he was the one who definitely stood out just having that, really close interaction and friendship within the classroom.
That's awesome.
Right. And now my department, accounting, is a little bit bigger as part of that business school. So I have a lot of great experience that I could talk about, but there's really two that stick out to me. So one actually happened before I got into my major classes, which will typically happen depending on how many credits you bring in from high school. The end of your sophomore, beginning of your junior year is typically when you'll get into the heart of your major. So this happened before when I was so technically in my gen eds, but it was a business class that I needed as a prerequisite for another class before I got into the major. It was my intro to marketing class with Carter McElveen. I'll give her the shout out because she is to this day my favorite professor at Clemson. And she was very close to getting me to switch from accounting to marketing. Not like she was trying to, just by how amazing her class was, she was super close to getting me to switch. Now, at Clemson, we pride ourselves on keeping a smaller learning environment. So our average class size is around 30 to 32 students. We do have some lecture hall style classes where there's over 100 students in class with you, but that's not very common. It's only about 5% of our course catalog. So all the classes that we have, only about 5% are in that lecture hall style setup. This was one of those classes. So for reference, I took two of these classes during my time at Clemson, so they're not very common. But this is a story from one of them, because Carter really went out of her way to make sure she learned everybody's name in this 150-person class that I was in. Now, on its own, that doesn't seem like too hard of a task, but she had three other classes, so four total. So some quick math there takes you up to 600 students. And she did not have a seating chart in her classes either. So I was amazed when not 2.5, 3 weeks into my semester in her class, I went up at the end of class to ask her a question, and she called me by name when I went up to ask her this question. I had not spoken in this class yet. I was still, you know, it was my sophomore year, so was still kind of getting used to this bigger lecture hall setting because I hadn't had one yet until sophomore year. And so I went up not expecting her to know who I was. And I went into this full-fledged introduction, like, hi, my name's Jack Council. I'm from Charlotte, all this stuff. And she goes, I know who you are, Jack. Like, what's your question? How can I help? And it just completely, like, made me take a step back, because she sat down and she showed me this after she answered my question. She has the photo directory for each of her classes, and she would just make flashcards and study people's names and faces. And she didn't quite get down to major. She knew as many majors as she could, but she knew everybody's name and everybody's face and could put a face to a name. And that was one of the most impressive things I've ever witnessed from a professor in a class
That's
that big.
And, majorly, you know, she impressive. Was
great. Well, and she did it to make sure to hold people accountable during class, to that they were paying attention. She had a no phone rule. So if she, the way she explained it to me is she saw someone on their phone, she wanted to be able to call them out by name and embarrass them in front of the class and get them to put their phone
well, then
away.
There's also that. Yeah. But,
exactly. But I really just think she did it because that's, you know, how passionate she is as an educator. And she really took it upon herself to make sure that one of these bigger classes at Clemson didn't feel like it at all. You know, after that class 2 weeks in where she knew my name, I felt like class went from 150 people to 25 because we got a lot more interactive after that. And she started calling on people and she could just, you know, 50 hands go up. She can pick out any individual person's name. So that was just an incredible experience for me to witness. And another one was within my major, one of my accounting professors, Phil Mayberger. We had accounting information systems is the class that he teaches. And there were so many just really cool moments. This was probably the most hands-on class where I learned direct applications to a job. So this is walking through the accounting process, all the sales cycles, billing cycles, cash disbursements, all that jazz that I won't bore you all with if you're not interested in accounting. But we
you.
Go through and essentially, you're welcome. We go through and essentially run a physical system for accounting for a company and then transition in the second half of the semester to a digital, a virtual system with like online ERP systems and things like that. So I walked out of that class feeling like I could go run an accounting system, either physical or digital, for a company because of the experience that I got in that class. So the way he taught it was absolutely incredible. Had a really cool guest speaker who was a CFO of a company, and he came in and talked to us about his experience. So that one is a lot of the content, I guess, and Professor Mayberger did a great job of explaining that to us and was very readily available to us outside the class because it was one of the tougher classes that I've taken. So he was great about being there for us. But on a more personal level, Carter really blew me away by knowing everybody's name so quickly. So that's just two of many, but those are the two that stick out
that's
for
awesome.
Me for sure.
I mean, it's really a lot when you're in a lecture hall not to, you know, to feel like a number. A lot of time that can just happen. But knowing that someone's going to take the time to, you know, do their best to learn everyone's name. And then on the flip side, in a really hard class, knowing that someone's going to sit there and support you and be like, I got you. Like, here's all the different ways I'm going to prepare you for something, you know, and that's great to have dedication from faculty
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I try to tell people that's a pretty common theme across Clemson's campus too. These are just our personal, examples from our specific departments. But I mean, regardless of what major or program or college you're a part of at Clemson, it really does seem like the faculty members are not only willing but want to go the extra mile to ensure that you feel like, you're where you need to be and you're doing what you need to be doing. And it really goes a long way because, it can be tough to drag yourself to class some days, but having something or somebody to look forward to makes a world of difference.
Absolutely. So this one's probably going to be an interesting one to answer. Let's talk about campus life. Now, obviously, right now it is a very different world from what it was before. So you can kind of talk about each, but what goes on? Like, let's talk athletics and Greek life, and if there's clubs, the kinds of campus events that go on, like all the things.
Well, Jack was probably a little bit more involved as a student than I was, but in my little corner of Clemson, like I said, I lived on a hall style residence hall that first year, which I mean that's kind of your first introduction into social life when you move onto a college campus is the people who live right there next to you, and so fostering some of those relationships. I mean, I think Jack and I both have friends who are still roommates with people that they lived with or lived on the same floor with freshman year. So that's step one is kind of getting to know where you live and the people who do live around you. And Clemson makes it insanely easy to do that. But then in terms of like other forms of student life, I was involved in just a couple of organizations. I know some people who try to get as involved as possible. I wanted to put as much as I could into what I was really passionate about, so that ended up being about two or three different organizations. But we have about 600 different student groups and organizations to choose from. Really, a little bit of something for everybody. Greek life certainly pretty prominent on campus. I know Jack is probably a little bit more involved with that community than I was, even though neither of us were in a fraternity. But he can probably go a little bit more into detail just as in terms of some of the chapters and organizations and things like that. But like I mentioned, having that lake right next door, Lake Hartwell, that is a really easy way to meet people and get involved. Intramural sports, really a big part of campus culture as well. And like I said, Jack, as the current student and probably a little bit more involved than me, can go into some better detail about these than I can. But there's definitely a little something for everybody. And if you're looking for somewhere that makes it easy to get involved and people that make it easy to be involved with, it's Clemson's pretty much perfect for that, which I know sounds like I'm tooting Clemson's own horn, having been an alum and now working there, and I am, but it's true because there, like I said, there's a good variety of resources, and all of them are listed online, and it just makes it really easy to find what you're looking for. But like I said, Jack could probably go into some better detail about some of that than I can.
For sure. And before I go and detail my own experiences, I just want to kind of harp on the most important point about all this, which is what Evan just mentioned about it being so easy to get involved. Charlotte is only 2.5 hours away from Clemson, so not far by any means, but it's still out of state, So we're operating at about 60-40 every year. This year with COVID and people want to stay closer to home, it's about 65% in-state and 35% out of state. So they do a really good job of getting out-of-state students, especially ingrained into campus and making sure they feel at home, whether they're from just over the state line in Charlotte or if they're all the way from Alaska, Hawaii, anywhere else. Clemson does a really good job of making sure that we are feeling at home because of how easy it is to get involved. Now, the reason I was able to get so involved at Clemson was because of going to this early on event that you'll have each semester called Tiger Prowl. So what that is, it's where all 550 plus of our organizations will go set up booths and tables in the concourse of our Death Valley football stadium. And it's just a really cool opportunity for the entire student body, whether you're a freshman who's wanting to get involved right away, or maybe a senior who has already been involved in a couple things, but looking for that just last thing to do before they graduate. It's a really great way to go just kind of walk around, see what there is to see, learn about all the different organizations. And this year with COVID, we were able to do that virtually. So kind of had like a Zoom rotation. So all the different organizations would go on the digital directory called Tiger Quest and post a Zoom link with the hours, kind of like open hours to just drop by and ask any questions. So me being a tour guide, I was able to sit in on the opposite side of that on our office hours and just answer questions for people who are interested in being tour guides this year. So this is an event that will happen every single semester. So whether you're coming in in the fall, whether you're coming in the spring in January, or you transfer in at any of either of those times, you will still be able to go to that event because it happens every semester. So we really do kind of put the onus on you to go check out that event and see what the different organizations are. Now, Evan did mention I did get a little involved during my time here. That's something I definitely wanted to do. Being an out-of-state student, I went to Myers Park High School, had, I believe, five people from my graduating class come to Clemson, including myself, and loved them all to death, but wanted to branch out a little bit more, meet some new people, create some new experiences. And so I knew I wanted to get involved and went to that Tiger Prowl event, got involved in student government, was able to do a lot of different things with that. I was on our student senate for 3 years, and that kind of put me at different parts of campus every year because I held a different position each year. My favorite was my junior year when I was the finance and procedures chair. So I, along with the student body treasurer, was able to pass out our $1.6 million pot of student activity funds to the different organizations around campus to help them fund events they're hosting on campus. If they want to send members to leadership conferences or tournaments, competitions around the country and around the globe, we were able to do that too. So that was just a really cool experience for me to not only help people out around campus, but learn about all the different things that these organizations are doing and seeing just how passionate everybody is about what they're doing. So student government was the first thing I got involved in, and then I became a tour guide, and that's really where I found my people at Clemson for sure. This is something I'm sure Evan and I will talk about a little bit more as this podcast goes on, but the Clemson family is something that we like to talk about in pretty much every tour that we give, and really anytime we're talking to any prospective students, because it is the main reason why so many of us love Clemson. It's because we always feel like we're at home, like we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And for me, becoming a tour guide and finding my people, finding my home here, was started in student government, but really cemented once I became a tour guide. So I, like Evan, I didn't kind of spread wide. I just went into a couple organizations and dug deep and really wanted to get involved, get leadership positions in those. But cool thing about Clemson, you got 550 things to choose from. So if you want to do one club 1 year and then switch up to another one, you can do that. If you want to keep the first one and add a second, you can do that as well. And that's from things like student government or tour guides to club sports, intramural sports, whatever it may be. Nothing's going to be too much of a time commitment to just take up all your time and energy into one specific organization or one specific club. You'll be able to kind of spread your wings a little bit and go out to a different couple of different organizations if that's something you're interested in. So that's definitely a little bit about the student involvement piece, and that's something getting involved is really something that I like to stress on all my tours as the most important part of college, whether you go to Clemson or not, is just, getting involved to make that school your home and not just a place
That's
you're going to class
awesome.
every day.
What's game day like?
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
Something that we are all deeply
I'm
missing
sure.
right about now. I've struggled for years now to come up with the exact words. In fact, I used to say on my tours, back in my heyday, on my tours, I used to say I don't have enough words in the English language to accurately convey what game day in Clemson, South Carolina is like. It's just one of those things that you have to experience it for yourself, and you have to experience it in a non-COVID world, because right now, no tailgating, parking lots and stadium, only opens about 2 hours before game time. Only 19,000 people allowed in the stadium. That's just not quite the same thing. Under normal circumstances, you've got an influx of about 100,000 people coming to the city of Clemson. You've got tailgating that starts, if it's a noon game, there are people tailgating at like 7 o'clock in the morning. If it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, it's a prime time matchup, there are still people tailgating at 7 o'clock in the morning, because that's how passionate and crazy we are about Clemson, about football, about the entire game day atmosphere. But it's really like being surrounded by 80,000 of your closest friends when you're in that stadium. And Clemson fans, across the college football community, are known as being some of the nicest, most hospitable fans. If you come to a Clemson game as a fan of the other team, you're not going to have a negative experience. And then alternatively, if there's a road game, or the ACC championship held at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte every year, the Clemson fans are always very respectful, and you know, we represent Clemson pretty well. So it's just a really, really good time, regardless of who you are, or if you have a dog in the fight, or if you're a fan of the other team, or whatever the case may be. It's undescribable. You know, I keep saying I don't have the words for it, which is true, because it's something that is just overwhelmingly positive, and something that I've definitely missed being a part of this year, just with, you know, all that's going on and some of the safety precautions and things like that. So definitely looking forward to when we're able to get back in Death Valley and have, you know, 100,000 people on a campus that's only made for about 20,000 people. Because when you're surrounded by that many people that are that enthusiastic and, you know, excited about the same thing, it's pretty
I'm
contagious.
sure. I'm sure it's a lot of fun, you know.
Oh, it is. Yes. And a little fun fact about game day on, you know, in a non-COVID world, we would become the third largest city in the state of South Carolina on a game day, going from around 40,000 of people typically, including all university students, employees, staff, to over, let's see, what is that, 180,000, something like that. We would literally have over 100, 125,000 people coming to campus every single game day. Our stadium only fits 84,000, including the Hill. So there's 100,000 people who aren't even going to make it in the stadium. They're just there to be in the environment of Clemson on a game day. And kind of like Evan mentioned, that's something that is obviously incredible when you're in Clemson. But something that blew me away even more than that is how well we travel and how cool it is to go to an away game at, you know, any other university, or to a bowl game or the ACC championship game. And always, without fail, at least half of the crowd is wearing orange. And that's just something cool to see as well, seeing that Clemson family travel to all of our different away games, just as well as show up here in Clemson. And cool thing for students is all of our tickets are free. So you're able to go watch a national championship winning football team play. You know, you could be three, four rows up from the field and not pay a dime for those tickets, which is something really cool as well. All of our tickets for football, basketball, baseball, soccer, you name it, all of our student tickets are going to be free. There are a couple paid for options if you want to do that and kind of guarantee seats. Otherwise, it'll be a random lottery. But I've been able to go until, you know, this season being weird with COVID. I had only missed two home games in my 4 years, my first 4 years here at Clemson. So super easy to get tickets, and you can get them for free.
For
So that's a
sure.
win-win
That's
in my book
awesome
for
to get
sure.
them for free. All right, so we talked about it kind of a little bit. So talk about your majors, minors, tell me a little bit about the curriculum, and then if there are any special requirements associated with your program or with Clemson in general that you have to meet before you can graduate.
So I am an accounting major, so I'm part of our business school. And so what that looks like for business students and engineering students alike, those are two of our more popular disciplines to go into. You're not going to come in directly as an accounting, finance, management, marketing, econ major. Same with engineering. You won't come in directly electrical, chemical, biochemical, whatever it may be. You will come in as either a general engineer, if you're going into engineering, or as a pre-business student. Now, the reason why we do that is to make sure you know exactly what you're getting yourself into for a specific major, so you don't figure out senior year like, oh shoot, this isn't really what I want to do for a living. Let's switch majors to something else. So it was a really cool class. This is another one of my favorite classes I took, was my pre-business class. We just kind of sat in the class for the semester, walked through the College of Business. They taught us how to register for classes, what kind of classes we would need for the different majors. We had to do these planning worksheets for each individual major in the College of Business to kind of plan out our schedule for our entire 4 years at Clemson, so we could see what that degree path looked like for us. Engineering does the same thing. And then what really kind of sent it home for me at the end of the semester was upperclassmen would come in and talk about their experience in their specific major, have a little PowerPoint presentation about, you know, their professors, their classes, what internships they've had, if they were seniors, what jobs they were looking at, or if they already had a job, what they were going to be doing. So it was a really cool opportunity for, you know, little old freshman Jack to see these people who seemed like their lives were so together, you know, knowing exactly what they wanted to do with their lives, having their jobs lined up. And then this past year, I was able to be on the other side of that. And it was funny to see, like, I'm applying for jobs. I have a good idea of what I'm doing, but I'm sure these kids who looked like they just had everything laid out right in front of them also were a little, you know, uncertain of what was going to happen too. So it was cool to be on the other side of that, but also to just learn about all of the different opportunities available to me within business. And that's something I got first semester of freshman year. So after that, I declared accounting, went through, finished up my general education classes and started second semester, sophomore year into my major classes. And those have all been incredible. It's been a nice mix of theory. So I'm understanding why, you know, for example, with accounting, specific accounts are deemed as assets and liabilities, all the different classifications. So there's a lot of theory there, but then there's also the practical applications. I mentioned that accounting information's course earlier, where I was actually running a made up company's accounting information system, which is really cool too. So it's been a nice balance of learning why things work the way they do, and then actually applying that to how they work in the real world and how to actually transfer those intangible skills into a tangible work environment. Same deal's happening this semester with my individual taxation class. I am learning how to file my own taxes, and I'm just kind of going section by section on those different tax forms. Each chapter in the class is a different section. So it's just kind of walking you through calculating gross income through adjusted gross income. We're at the alternative minimum tax right now. So it's just really cool things that I know I'll be able to, you know, when I graduate in December, when I'm done with this class, I will be able to file my own taxes.
I could have used that class.
So I don't know. It's just, right. Yeah. So I'm glad I'm getting it in before I graduate, for sure. Lots of life skills I've learned in my major, for sure. So it's definitely big picture. That's kind of what my
awesome.
Major path looked like personally.
I will say, in a more, you know, just kind of broadly speaking about majors, we've got just over 80 or so to choose from. Those are broken up into the 7 different academic colleges. And on the application side of things, as a prospective student, not really a different set of requirements per major. So, you know, whether you're looking at nursing or engineering or psychology, we're not really looking for a separate, you know, set of classes or other requirements that you need to meet. It's all pretty much the same across the board. There are a few, you know, niche programs like, you know, performing arts would require an audition, things like that. But on the academic side of things, as long as you're meeting your high school graduation requirements, you're going to be in good shape there. And I will say Clemson differs from a lot of other places in that on the application, you are applying directly into major. We admit directly into major. So like Jack was talking about with kind of the pre-business or the general engineering, you're still directly admitted to the college. There's not going to be a reapplication process later. You're going to go through that first year and just simply declare what major you would like to pursue from that point moving forward. So that's something that's very unique about our nursing program as well. I know a lot of schools have kind of that pre-nursing, and so you take maybe a year or two of classes, and then you have to reapply to get into the actual nursing classes. Clemson's not going to work that way. If you're accepted, you know, as a nursing major, then you're a nursing major day one. So on the application, we're going to give you 2 different choices of major. So you put the one you most want down as your first choice, and then kind of a backup option, if you will, for that second choice, because a lot of times it could be that you are a competitive applicant. We still want you at Clemson, but for some reason or another, maybe that first major is unavailable. We'll try our best to slide you into that second choice if we can help it. And so kind of going along with that, there are some programs on campus that are what we call limited space. It means they have a very specific cap limit to the number of students that they can take. Not a lot of flexibility once you reach that cap limit. So tend to be a little bit more competitive throughout the application process, and even as a current student as well. So our top limited space majors are sports communication. As I mentioned, that's what my major was. I can go a little bit more in detail about that if we have time, if anybody cares. health science, nursing, those three are kind of the top, you know, limited space majors. So if you're thinking about applying into one of those, definitely want to put down a solid second option, you know, again, to maximize your chances of acceptance. And then from year to year, just kind of depends on the number of applications we get, but architecture can be limited space, regular communication, construction science and management, which is a really cool program. And then any of our education-based majors, all of those programs also have specific cap limits on them, but the number of applications that we get kind of in, you know, relation to those top three is a little bit lower. So if you're interested in any of those majors, definitely want to make sure, again, to maximize your chances of acceptance, to put down a pretty good major as your second choice as well, which again, I recommend no matter what you're putting down as your major, you want to make sure to put something as that second option. Don't want to, you know, leave it blank or put that same major down twice, because you're kind of hurting your chances of admission right off the bat. So that's kind of how it works on the front end of things, just as far as being a prospective student and applying and kind of working through it from that angle. And then Once you get into your specific program, there are definitely some really cool opportunities within each and every major that we have at Clemson. A lot of it depends on, size, resources, the college that the major is situated in, things like that. So really, you can't go wrong. Like Jack said, business and engineering kind of our top two, but Clemson does a lot of things really well. So whatever it is that you're interested in, if you think you have a good idea or you want to maybe still try to figure it out, clemson.edu/degrees has all of our majors listed. It has all the information about all those majors as well. So really helpful tool, again, on the application side of things. I used it a few years ago when I was applying to Clemson to settle on sports comm. So I definitely recommend that as well. And then if you need any, additional information or specific questions regarding different majors or programs or things like that, you can find a lot of contact information online as well. So we make it really easy for you to do a little bit of, background research on your intended major. And then, once you get into it, a lot of really good people and resources at your
That's
disposal as
awesome.
well.
Are there any requirements for like internships for Clemson as a whole or for like either of the programs or like, senior design projects or like research requirements? Because I've had a lot of people from other schools saying, oh yeah, like the whole school's required, everyone's required to do at least two internships, or no, it's just by major, or like there's always differences there.
Just by major, I believe, unless I'm
Yeah, no,
wrong there.
it differs from, major to major, department to department. I know like architecture, for example, requires that you study abroad, and I think that's one of, if not the only major on campus that has a required study abroad element to it. And then, obviously within I think, engineering, co-oping is an opportunity. You don't have to, but most engineering majors end up doing that as well. And then there's, some majors that require internships or, if you're a performing arts major, I would assume there's probably some kind of requirement for, what you have to assist with for some of the productions on campus or things like that. So really, it just kind of varies from major to major, whether it's, an internship or a research or a thesis or something like that. So really, again, just depends on the very specific major or
Absolutely.
program.
All right. So were there any specific factors that led you to choose Clemson over any other school that you applied to?
Throughout the college application process, I shouldn't even call it that because I only applied to Clemson. So I kind of have this unique position now, as an admissions counselor to try to help people through the college application process that I never really went through because I always knew it was going to be Clemson. My dad is an alum. Mom actually started at Clemson but transferred and graduated from South Carolina. So still huge Clemson fan she is. Dad, of course, loved it as well. So I grew up on Clemson. We went to a couple of football games as a kid. I, was around campus enough to know that that was a place that I wanted to be, and it was what was right, for me. So I can distinctly remember having a conversation with my mother in the spring of my junior year of high school. She sat me down at the kitchen table one night after dinner, and she said, "All right, Evan, we got to get serious about this whole college thing. Where are you applying? What are you going to major in? Who are you going to room with? Where are we going to
You're
tour?
like
That sort of thing."
Clemson.
And I remember, very
Clemson.
politely, I cut her off and I said, "Mama, this ain't going to take very long because I'm going to Clemson." And she said, "Really?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." I said, "I don't want to waste, your time or your money on, college visits and applications for places I know I don't want to go." And so when push came to shove that fall, I sent in one college application to one school, and luckily it worked out pretty well. So yeah, when it comes to talking about the differences between schools and what I was looking for, I never really experienced that because I, always knew that Clemson was going to be what I was going to settle on, and so I very much had tunnel vision. So now, as an admissions counselor, I'm very much do as I say, not as I did, because that was not the right way to go through that
But I
at
mean, I think
all.
that really, like, I think that really
Yeah,
speaks to
that
some
would
people. They're
stress
like,
me
no, this is the
out.
school I've always known I wanted to go to. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is a risk, like, to only apply to one school. Doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it like, hey, by the way, if you do this, understand the risk if you only apply to one. Like, that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking back on it, obviously it worked out as well as it possibly could have. But I'm the oldest of three. I have two younger brothers. And so mom and dad, of course, hadn't gone through the college application process in 25 years, when they mailed in their applications. So they didn't know the difference. They were just like, yeah, we knew you loved Clemson, so that's fine. Well, then my brother, who's 4 years younger than me, when he rolled around, he didn't have the same feelings about Clemson. He was real, indecisive. So they forced him on some campus tours, and he applied to various different places. So they kind of approached the process a lot differently because we all kind of ended up realizing that, huh, that could have worked out a
Yeah,
lot worse.
for sure.
Yeah, so mine is a little different than that. I did apply more than one school. We had some different on-campus visits where admissions representatives like Evan would go and set up in one of our conference rooms at Myers Park, and anyone interested in that specific school would just, sign up, reserve their seat in that room, and depending on how many people signed up, you'd be able to get out of class for, 20 minutes and go hear the little admission spiel from them. My college counselor definitely made me apply to as many as I was interested in. But yeah, so both of my parents went to Chapel Hill. So Evan's feelings for Clemson for me were to Chapel Hill from age 0 till age 18. That was the only school I wanted to go to. It was the first application I did. And honestly, I didn't know a lot about Clemson. The only reason that I applied here was because my best friend growing up, Carson, he was the biggest Clemson fan and still to this day is the biggest Clemson fan I've ever met. He would never shut up about it when we were kids. And he kind of sat me down one day and said, "Listen, here's a laptop. The application's open. You're not allowed to leave until you fill it out." So I filled it out and submitted it. Wasn't really expecting to ever go there. Wasn't really thinking much about it. It was super easy to do, and that, stands true to this day. Clemson does not require any essays or letters of recommendation for the standard application. So I was able to fill it out in about 45 minutes to an hour. And so did that in class one day, because he was in very encouraging for me to do that, and didn't think much about it until decisions started rolling around. Got into Clemson, and had never been down there, and so wanted to go check it out a little bit, and my tour guide completely sold me on it. I was walking around, and the only other campus that I'd ever felt that at home was a Chapel Hill campus I'd been to upwards of probably 10, 15 times throughout my childhood, with my parents going back there. So I was really torn, didn't really know what I was going to do, but something in my gut told me that Clemson was where I was supposed to be. And really, on my tour, the three things that stood out were the academics, the athletics, and the atmosphere. And I think those are three of the probably biggest determining or deciding factors in most people's decisions. There's going to be those three things. For me, academics, I wanted to go to a very good business program, and Clemson was top 25 in the country, so that was a big check mark there. Athletics, even past football, because football puts the check in the box right there, all said and done. But I'm also a big soccer fan, and Clemson's men's soccer team made it, I believe that was the year we made it to the national championship game and lost in that national championship game as I was applying. So that was a huge plus for me. And our men's and women's soccer teams have been, very good ever since I've been here. Actually, I'm about as once we have finished recording this podcast, I'm up in Raleigh currently, and the ACC tournament for women's soccer is happening today. And I'm going to go watch Clemson play Duke. That game is actually just about to start, which is exciting. One of my good friends, his little sister is on the team. So I was up visiting high school friends and just wanted to go over and watch her play today. So the athletics were big for me. That's a big check there. And then atmosphere. This was the most important because pretty much every school you're looking at, hopefully they've got good academics, and a lot of schools will have at least one, above average athletics team. So atmosphere is really what it came down to for me. I wanted to go somewhere where I knew I would be okay, because I was one of those kids who'd never been away from home for more than a week at a time, up until college. So I really had no idea what I was getting myself into. I wanted to go somewhere I felt comfortable. I knew I'd be able to make friends and really fit in. And Clemson, I walked around and it literally fit like a glove. I could see myself not only doing the big things like going to a football game on a Saturday, or going to class and everything. I could see myself, going and studying at the library, or going to get a coffee at the Starbucks that was not 50 feet from my residence hall freshman year. I could see myself doing all the little things too. And that's really something that made me realize this could be my home. This is it. And so that, and being on a actual tour was very nice. So I was able to get that sense of campus and feel what it felt like to be walking around and being
I
a
hear that a
student.
lot. That's like one of the
That's really
biggest
what
things
sold
people
it for
tell me
me.
is that they knew when they got to campus. Like being on campus is what sold them. And I know that's obviously can be very difficult during, COVID and everything, getting to tour. Not everyone's able to do that. But if you are able, like that's the kind of selling point for a lot of people is like you're going to be there for 4+ years, So getting on there and feeling it will help you know whether or not it's the right fit. All right, my last
Absolutely.
question for you guys. What do you
Absolutely.
wish you had known that an incoming or prospective student can benefit from?
So I'll take a kind of I guess a different approach to my answer to this question. But like I mentioned, I have a younger brother who is 4 years younger than me. He is currently, I guess a little bit ironically, given the course of our conversation, he's a sophomore at Chapel Hill right now. And so when he was getting ready to go off to Chapel Hill, I guess a little over a year ago, it was not long after I had started as an admissions counselor, you know, maybe a month or two into it. And he was a month or two from moving in on campus. And so we were at home, you know, one weekend, or maybe might even been the weekend we were moving him in. And Dad said, "All right, Mr. Admissions Counselor, you know, you got your younger brother here getting ready to go off to college, and you just finished college. Now you're trying to help other people figure it out. So what's the one piece of advice that you would give him?" And I think, you know, I've kind of altered this a little bit to be the one piece of advice that I would give everybody or anybody. So I guess it'd probably be pretty good advice to give myself. But I looked at my brother and I said, "It doesn't matter." And he said, "What?" I said, "Whatever it is, don't worry about it." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You're about to go through a lot. You know, college is completely different than anything you have ever experienced. You know, this is the first time that you're going to be living on your own and responsible for every element of your daily life." I said, "So whatever it is that you're worried about right now, don't, because it's going to work itself out. It's all going to come together in the way that it's meant to. You're going to be where you need to be, doing what you need to do." And so, you know, not that it doesn't matter in the sense that, hey, don't take this seriously, because it does matter, obviously. But if, you know, you're stressed about studying, you know, because that was something that worried me a lot my first semester. I didn't get involved right away at Clemson because I wanted to really get into my academic groove before I kind of branched out, you know, in different, you know, aspects of college life. So, you know, whatever little thing it is, whether it's, "Oh, what did I forget to pack on move-in day?" Or, you know, "I hope I have plans on Friday night," or "How am I going to meet friends?" Whatever it is, don't worry about it, because it's all going to come together. You know, if you know you're where you're meant to be, and you know you've done the hard part already. You know, you've gone through the application process. You made this, you know, decision of where to, you know, not only be for the next 4 years of your life, but somewhere you're going to be tied to for the rest of your life. So you've already gone through the hard part and the front end of that process, then whatever is going to happen now, it's all going to end up, you know, working out the way it's supposed to. So whatever it is, don't worry about it. Don't stress too much, because it's all going to work out, you know, the way that you need it to. Maybe not even the way that you want it to, but the way that you need it to. And so, you know, best thing you can do is take it in stride, take everything, you know, just one small step at a time. Cause like I said, it can be kind of overwhelming. I remember my first night on campus, on move-in day, actually, my roommate and I are from the same hometown. So we knew each other already, but we moved in and our families left, and we just kind of sat there and went, "All right, now what?" You know, cause that was when it finally became real. It was the two of us. It was dinner time. We were on our own. Mom wasn't cooking. You know, there we were there. It was time to put our nose to the grindstone and do the whole college thing. And all of a sudden, I wasn't very worried or very stressed, because I knew I was where I was supposed to be, doing what I was supposed to do, and that it was all going to work out. So no matter who you are, where you end up at school, even if, you know, you end up having to change majors or transfer or whatever it is, it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to. You're going to come out the other end better than you think you will. So in the meantime, don't worry about it, because that's not going to help anything.
Good advice. I like that.
Yeah, and mine is a little bit of an extension of that. So obviously, I agree with everything that Evan just said, and that's very solid advice. And mine is go for it. You know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. And no matter what it is, if you think you want to do it or you think you should do it, go for it. You know, like Evan just mentioned, if you want to go into a specific major, you've got this gut feeling like this is what I'm supposed to study, go for it. If you want to go join an organization, even if it's something you have no experience in, I joined student government my freshman year with zero student government experience in middle or high school. And I went for it. And I am so glad that I did, because that introduced me to all of my closest friends at Clemson, people that I'm still in contact with now, people who I saw in Raleigh 2 days ago, who I hadn't seen in like a year since they graduated and left Clemson, South Carolina. You know, it's just go for it. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there, whether that's joining an organization, going down a certain major path, whatever it may be, go for it. So that's probably my advice to add on.
At the end of the day, everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to. And don't be afraid to try stuff. College is an opportunity to do so many different things. You've got so much there. So might as well experience it while you got it.
And absolutely. Absolutely. As a college student, you know, you hear it all the time and you really take it for granted. But people, you know, whether they're your age or older, your parents, they'll say, this is the best 4 years of your life, so make it count. And I remember hearing that so often as a student, thinking, yeah, like, I'm having a great time. It's a lot of fun, but, you know, I've still got a while to go. And then, you know, probably a week or so before graduation, that final exam, I walked out and it just hit me.
It's done.
Like, that's it. Like, yeah, that was way too
quick.
This
is it.
You know,
yep.
So
as somebody graduating in 6 weeks, you definitely, yeah, I'm definitely feeling that a little bit. And that's, you know, secondary piece of advice to stow away until your final year of college. You know, once you hit senior year, kind of along the lines of go for it. If your friends want to do something, say yes. You know, whether you want to, they want to go get breakfast or brunch or something, say yes. If you want, they want to go to a football game, maybe you're not feeling it that day, say yes. Because, you know, once you graduate and everybody goes off their separate ways and is working across the country, you will, A, have a very cool network of places to go, but B, you will not have the ability to just wake up and walk across the hall or drive 5 minutes away to see these best friends that you've made during your time. So especially for senior year, go for it, say yes, and just make the most out of the time that you have there.
Now, that's a slippery slope. I don't want people listening to get the wrong idea. I know there's that bit of advice that floats around every once in a while that says, you can always retake a class, but you can't relive a party. That's horrible advice. Don't listen to that.
Yes, that's not what I'm saying.
I think, you know, if you boil that bad piece of advice down to what you were just saying, Jack, it's 100% true. I mean, there's a lot of things that come with being a college student that you don't realize aren't going to be available after you graduate until it's too late. Like a year and a half into the real world, there are so many things that I look back and realize that I didn't fully enjoy that moment like I should have. And I didn't fully take advantage of a lot of things that I should have. And, you know, part of that is, you know, hindsight being 2020. Part of that, of course, is just nostalgia. But yeah, no matter what point you're at in, you know, college life, take advantage of the rest of it and, you know, live it up to the fullest, because you're not going to get that time back. So once you really, you know, get past that initial, you know, first semester of freshman, you're like, all right, let's do this college thing. And once you really get into the groove of things, settle in, buckle up, enjoy the ride, because it's going to be over a lot quicker than you want it to.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk with me today about Clemson. It was awesome to learn so much about it. It sounds like such a great school. And I think you guys have shared so much great information for anyone considering attending there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. Like I said, I'm glad we were able to make this work. I know we probably talked way more than anybody's going to care to listen to either of us, but I know we enjoyed ourselves, and, you know, we're always open and happy to help any prospective, not even Clemson, just college student. You know, if there's any questions, comments, concerns about Clemson or just college life in general, you can always feel free to let me or Jack know, because, like I said, we love Clemson and we love, you know, being able to talk to people and try to, you know, help them through that process as best we can, I guess. If there's anything that anybody needs moving forward, we are not hard to track down.
The library wants to be able to help teens on their journey as best we can. So for more information about college and career connections, please visit Charlotte Mecklenburg Library's website, cmlibrary.org/teens, and also check out the Career Exploration Spotlight podcast series. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. If you loved what you just heard or know someone who would, please share it. Take a screenshot of the episode and share it on social media, and don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you want to lend your personal support to what we're doing, leave a review on your podcast provider. Tune in every other week for a new episode of the College Exploration Spotlight series, and we'll see you then.